You can go from, I should start a podcast, to actually starting a podcast with Spreaker. Spreaker's tools allow you to record, manage, distribute, and monetize any podcast idea, whether it's about your business or even your cat. And as your podcast grows, Spreaker helps you manage your success and even monetize it. That means all you need to get started is a microphone and a really good idea. Learn more and get 30% off at Spreaker.com/get started. That's Spreaker.com/get started.
Welcome to The Porch. Here on Firefall Talk Radio, I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting from the Firefall Studio, the only place you can hear us live is on Spreaker.com. So welcome. Welcome to our Blog Talk and iTunes and iHeartRadio listeners as well. You can listen to us live here Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, or you can listen archived and download after the fact. This is where we get back to basics, examining the Word of God from a deeper, non-filtered, non-compromised perspective. I believe that's how the early church, the Book of Acts Church, did it, and that's how we've been doing it. We believe the church age is still in effect. The fire still falls. The fire of the Holy Spirit is needed today to finish the job. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc., a Florida non-for-profit since January of 2000. Go to onsolomonsport.org if you'd like to contact us. If you have any questions, visit the site, use the contact button. If you'd like to support what we do here on Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com. There are ways to do that. Make sure you bookmark us on the Spreaker app so that you know when a new show's been broadcast or uploaded. When you do that, you'll know when the new Overwatch will be aired. Going to be back this year on a regular basis. I'm just not sure if it'll be week to week or whenever it's needed, so make sure you're subscribed to know that. The Porch Light newsletter went out today. Got some really exciting information in it. If you did not get it or you're not on the email list, please let me know and I'll make sure that you do. I have posted it on my Facebook page and also the Facebook page for Firefall Talk Radio and for SRT. As I mentioned last time and in the newsletter, considering doing a seminar weekend here in Orlando early August before school starts, something just for us, small, intimate Friday night worship service, prayer service, Saturday teaching. If there's people that want to be baptized, whatever hotel we use, we'll borrow their pool for that. Let me know if it's something you would support, you'd commit to, and let's make this happen. Starting out with praise reports and prayer requests. Well, of course, I always praise the Lord for my home, for my wife, for my family, sons, daughters-in-law, and our wonderful grandson. Praise Him for our furry kids and everything He's given us, all this technology, the ability to do this. Praise Him for, of course, my salvation, and that should have started with that, I'm sorry. His protection over us, the ministry He lets me work, the dreams and the visions, which I got to tell you, we're definitely in a Joel 2, chapter 2 time because it's been nonstop. I praise Him for His healing virtues, for the inspiration that He gives, for the relationship I have with Him, and loving me into His kingdom, translating me out of darkness into the light, being a new creation, and of course living in these prophetic times. Praise Him for America. We have some problems. There's no doubt about it. But we can still worship the Lord in freedom. in spirit and in truth if we want to. Just may not be able to do that in the church. I praise him for the signs that he's getting ready to come back. Let's get ready, roll up the sleeves. So that means we have to pray. We have to pray for the Middle East. We have to pray for Israel. We have to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We have to pray that the world and the enemy and governments keep their hands off of Jerusalem. Pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, both in and out of the womb, both human and animal. The enemy is running rampant right now, harming our brothers and sisters around the world, slaughtering them for their faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. It's killing babies in and out of the womb. Now political leaders want to have abortion up to the day of delivery. Purely satanic and evil. I pray for against, actually, the religious persecution and the anti-Semitism that's on the rise. I'm also asking for healing. Back in September, if you remember, I took a fall, and that healed up pretty well. But because of the nature and the severity of the fall, it's kind of knocked my back and my lower hip, lower back area out of whack, and it's now affecting my left leg and knee, and I've had a couple of really painful days, so please keep that in prayer. Praying for divine wholeness, health, and healing in all of us. You know, 2018, I've talked to a lot of people. I interact with a lot of people. Just seems to be a time of pain and suffering, and we need to pray more. We need to really come into agreement, get back to our divine design. And I'm not talking about a shotgun prayer into the heavenlies, oh, Lord, heal me. I'm talking about getting on your knees, getting under your prayer shawl, getting into wherever you have to get, and hitting it. So I'm praying for healing in everyone right now that's listening that is sick, injured, has anything going on. I'm praying for inspiration. I'm praying for the fire inside of us to burn bright and burn hot, for the remnant to wake up, rise up, answer the call to action, to answer the call to blessings, answer the call to support and participate. I'm praying we would prosper in accordance with his word and that the conduits of his blessings would fly open. Continue to pray for the documentary, The Deep Darkness, going back to Kansas in late March. So I'm praying for that, and it's in the newsletter. You really have to read it. In an influx of funds, we need to finish the job and for doors to open. All right, Deb in Orlando. Actually, Deb on the other side of the house, my wife, is asking for healing in her shoulder. She's dealing with some pain, residual pain from a shoulder replacement, and she would really like for that to stop and to be healed. For yesterday was the year anniversary of the passing of her brother John. Well, on the same day, his brother-in-law, Dwayne, in Arizona, had a pretty severe heart attack in the hospital. So pray for Dwayne and Sherry in Arizona. Sherry's his wife. He's also dealing with Parkinson's. It's just a tough time for them. They need divine mercies and healing. Stacy in Texas, her praise report and prayer request for tonight is she's thankful for her family, her furry kids, for like-minded believers in her life. She's praying. She would ask that we would continue to pray for her family and for the house in Alabama to sell and for us to find a new home there in Texas. Hey, Stacy, I've been praying with somebody else in the same regard. What you have to pray is not for just the self, but for the right person to see it, see the what they call the bones, the structure, and be willing to buy it as is for the price that you need. Kim in Fort Mitchell, if you paid attention, Kim missed last week because, according to her own admission, she did not realize it was Wednesday until Thursday. Yeah. Anyway, she said, Happy New Year. I hope all is well. It's been a hectic couple of weeks, and we'll continue until February 10th. Her husband, who is in the military, is moving to his next duty station, but she and the kids will be staying there in Fort Mitchell. She says, I praise my Heavenly Father for keeping me sober for my salvation. I praise him for my children and his love. I praise him for this ministry, my friend Stacy, and praise him for everything he provides my family and my dog, Bruno. Said, Father, thank you for your protection and your sacrifice. I'm asking for a smooth transition in this moving process, and the kids and I adjust well. Father, please give me a financial breakthrough and give me strength. Guide me through this next term of my college education. Heal my family, protect us, and deliver us. Praying for the Porch families, each one represented here. Answer our prayers, even the ones we don't talk about. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me when I don't trust you. Help me and my children grow spiritually. Show us how to shine your light. Give us your compassion for each other. Bless us and forgive us, please. Protect your people, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm going to add something here, and it's in the newsletter. I don't normally hawk a newsletter. I try to put them out regularly. I'm praying for breakthrough. I'm talking about massive breakthrough. I can't even tell you what level. I shared some of it in the newsletter. One of the things that we would like to be able to do with the Porch is to take in so much support and blessing that we can bless others and help others in their time of need. Now, the normal local churches should be doing that. Yeah, good luck with that. But we can be different. We can make a difference. So I want you to agree with me in prayer that 2019 is a breakthrough year in the flow of his blessings and provisions to be overwhelming us, pressed down, shaken together, running out onto our bosom. And the visual there is you have to lift up your shirt or your dress or your apron or whatever it is to catch it before it hits the ground. There's so much of it. So, Father, we just come to you right now. I've already begun. And we praise you. We love you. We want to do so much for you and with you. We want to please you, and I know that just loving you does that, and accepting Yeshua, your Son, as our Savior, and being reconciled to you is enough, but we want to do more. We want to help set the captives free. We want to minister. We want to have safe havens and sanctuaries and places where both people and animal can come find refuge. We want to do for each other what the world has never done, will never do for us. We want to be an example to the world of your family. So we're asking you to hear us right now. We're asking you to get that angel, to get out that notebook and start taking notes, because Kim and Fort Mitchell, she has needs. Stacy and Neil in Texas, they have needs. Deb here has needs. The people I know of, Dwayne has needs. And we know that you are a great God. You are the great God, El Elyon, God Most High. And there is none like you. And you can't be outdone. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a lot of cattle. And if we prayed for 100 million or a billion or $1 trillion, as ridiculous as it would sound, it would not be beyond your capabilities. So touch us, touch the Porch, touch the listeners, reach into their lives and meet them at their needs and bless them beyond anything they can think or imagine, because we love you. You are our Abba, Father. You are the only thing that matters, Father. You are the only thing that matters, Lord. We walk with you, Holy Spirit, in comfort and companionship and friendship. We walk in a fallen world, a dark, ugly, at times demonic world. But we will shine and we will glow and we will grow. We'll set the captives free, Lord. We'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So right now, we just ask that you open our hearts and open our minds to receive. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you for the fire in the upper room. And we long to see you again. And we thank you for that. We're just ready, Lord. We are ready to receive. We believe and we touch and we agree. In Yeshua's name, amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we're still talking about walking in the Spirit, and tonight we're going to talk about evangelism. And it ties into everything I prayed. It ties into the newsletter. It ties into the concept and ideas and goals that are international in scope. We believe the Lord's coming back. We believe that there's a job to do. We believe that there are people out there, a remnant, that is looking to plug into something more than what they're getting. So we need to understand evangelism. We need to understand this concept of walking in the Spirit. And as always, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to start out with the scriptures that we are building upon. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Yeshua accursed, and no one can say that Yeshua is my Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Paul saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to be misinformed. I don't want you to ignore or to be averse to it or just willfully act ignorant. For we are called to walk in the Spirit with wisdom and understanding. That word walk means action, effort, and insight. It's the state in which we are living, spirit or flesh. So where's your walk? Is it in the Spirit or is it in the flesh? So then we've been talking about the function of the body working together. This is Romans 12, starting verse 4. For as one physical body, we have many parts, organs, members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use. So we, numerous as we are one body in the Messiah, individually, and we are parts of one another, mutually dependent upon one another. Having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, well, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Let your love be a sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. Hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. Every week we pray for people. And those people, maybe people you know, need help. Believe me, we are not where we're going to be. Sometimes we struggle to make what we get last to the end of the month. I'm believing that's about to change. But I'm also believing that this message is about to spread further than it ever has before. So if you want to help somebody, maybe you want their information so that you can go on Amazon, one of those places, and have food or supplies or whatever they need sent to them. You let me know. You contact me. Go to FirefallTalkRadio.com and write me and tell me I want to help. Anything that you do through the way that I'll show you to do it to Firefall Media Group, which is 501c3 non-for-profit. Everything's tax deductible if that's what you need to do with it. I'm off the notes here, folks. I'm just fired up. This evangelism teaching had me so fired up today. I wanted to go to a homeless shelter, I just wanted to go do something. I'm tired of the world acting like it's got something going on and helping people, or that the government can help people. The church was supposed to be the source of that help. Okay, back on my notes. Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So we're talking about evangelism. What is evangelism? Well, it's two kinds of evangelism, two aspects of it, actually. The one kind is the message that is preached, which is the good news of salvation. The other kind is the places where it's preached, whether publicly or privately. The message is the gospel, and the ministry of an evangelist is an itinerant one. It's not the person that, you know, sits in a comfortable air-conditioned place every week. We're really going to get into the biblical examples of it. Holman Bible Dictionary says evangelism is the act of calling a people to respond to the message of grace and commit oneself to God in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. While we tend to think it's a New Testament phenomena, it was even obvious in the Old Testament, but it was God who inspired evangelism in the Old Testament. Psalm 22, verses 27 and 28, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Well, how are they supposed to know if no one's telling them? You see, God's care began with Adam and Eve. Even after they messed up, he planned to bless them. He planned to bless through Abraham what would become the Israelite nation. And he continued to try to bless and evangelize the world through the prophets and through the discipline and the chastising. He was trying to use Israel to show his deep concern for humanity. We see that in the story of Jonah and Nineveh in Jonah chapters 3 and 4. See, he tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, arise and preach the message that I tell you. So Jonah goes, does not want to go, but he goes. And Nineveh was a exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, now he doesn't have an appointment, he's got no flyers, he didn't send anything on social media, he gets through the gate and he starts preaching, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent, turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And then God saw their works and turned from the evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he didn't do it. So Jonah, who did not want to go, but finally shows up, says what he's told to say, and the people repent. Well, then if you flip over to verse 4, and I think it applies here, so he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my country? He didn't want to do it. He didn't want Nineveh to be spared. He wanted them to be punished. Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. He was angry at the mercy of God that caused 120,000 people to be converted to God. He was angry that his ministry was successful. See, Jonah had a problem. He was deeply patriotic to his own country, and he was prejudiced against people that were not of Israel and were not of followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he put all that above the souls of men and the will of God. See, he knew God was a gracious God. He knew God was merciful, and he knew God was slow to anger. And he knew God would repent and change his mind and not destroy people that turn from sin to righteousness. See, God has always tried to use Israel and the people of Israel to evangelize the world, and sometimes they've done a very bad job with carrying out their mission. But you see, that's the message. The message is God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and he does not want to punish you. That's the message we have. God has made a way, and his name is Yeshua. His name is Jesus. Billy Graham said, Be to the world a sign that while we as Christians do not have all the answers, we do know and care about the questions. We don't have all the answers. And sometimes people need to hear more than, I'll pray for you. Sometimes they need you to listen. Sometimes they need for you to somehow encourage them in their faith. See, that's what evangelism is. Evangelism means the telling of the gospel, the good news. It means to bring, to announce good news. It in its Greek form, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce again. I just don't feel like mangling it right now. It occurs 55 times in the New Testament. And we have somehow in our thinking just made it this simple word, preach. I think sometimes when they translated the Bible, forgive me if you're a King James only person. Sometimes when the Jesuit priests that translated the King James Bible, they took words that had deeper, fuller meanings and put them into little words. But we'll stay with the word preaching. Acts 8:4, therefore they were scattered. After the church was persecuted, they were scattered and they went everywhere preaching the word. Glad tidings is another definition for good news as well. Preaching the glad tidings, the word, the doctrine concerning the attainment of salvation in the kingdom of God through Messiah. They went and they testified and they preached the word of the Lord to Jerusalem, and they preaching the gospel in the many villages of the Samaritans. But see, this is what the Lord told them they would do. And he told them that they would do it with help. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. Maybe I should have called this walking with the Spirit. Because you can't do any of the things I'm sharing with you unless you're walking with the Spirit. Acts 1:8, what did the Lord say to them? You shall receive power, dunamis, explosive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Basically, what he was saying is, I'm giving you some fire, and that fire is going to get inside of you, and it's going to compel you and propel you out into the world to tell them the good news. Peter and John did that when they went to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria on their first evangelistic tour. I think they had shirts, Peter and John's first evangelistic tour. And the message was the word of the Lord. It was the gospel. It was, be saved from this perverse generation. If you look at Philip in Acts 8:35, it says, Philip opened his mouth. He's speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch. And beginning at this scripture, preached Yeshua to him. What he was doing him was he was showing the message of the Messiah, the foretold prophesied Messiah that had been recently fulfilled by the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension into heaven. Now, what scripture are they talking about in Acts 35? Well, they're talking about Isaiah 53, what the Jews call the forbidden chapter. Isaiah 53:7-8, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and he will declare his generation. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Used to be Isaiah 53 was read in the synagogues, but caused so many arguments and confusion and fights because of what it inferred that they just stopped doing it altogether. Many Jews in Israel don't even know what it says. There are some videos online of a messianic group that goes out into the streets and asks people if they know what Isaiah 53 is, and then he reads it to them. Sometimes it's English, sometimes it's in Hebrew. And when it's done, he looks at them and says, well, who do you think this is talking about? Some people don't know, but the ones that get it, you can watch their eyes. There was one very religious Jewish man he was speaking to, and you could see him begin to tense up. You can see the look in his eyes when he knew there was only one answer and he didn't want to talk. He walked away. See, Isaiah wrote that in 700 B.C., and his prophecy in chapter 53 was the leaders would not recognize him. But at the end of days, they would recognize the one they rejected. He said that he will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. He said that he would be disfigured more than any man. He would suffer, he would be humiliated, his body would be abused, he'd be tortured so badly you wouldn't even be able to recognize him. But he said that kings will shut their mouth because of him, for what had not been told them they will see, and what they had not heard they will perceive. He said that this man would have no beauty, that we should desire him. He wasn't appealing. He didn't come from royalty. He didn't come from prestigious rabbinic families. He would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. When you take a detailed examination of Isaiah's prophecy, specifically in 53, but throughout the book, there's only one answer. When asked, does this describe anybody living or dead? Does this describe anybody that has already walked the earth? And if you watch these videos, you watch young and old, have to admit, yes, it describes Jesus of Nazareth. It describes Yeshua. So here's Philip. He goes to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 80, and he runs up to him, and he hears him reading that section from the prophet Isaiah. So Philip says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" This is the key to evangelism. You better know what the Bible says. Not what somebody else says it says. You should know what it says. You should know the intention and the meaning and the historicity and what was going on at that time. So he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, at that moment, I do not think, first of all, Philip has been miraculously translated from where he was to that spot to evangelize this Ethiopian eunuch who had already been handpicked by God to receive the gospel. If you're worried, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, I can't talk, that's great. God can use you because what the Lord told his disciples still applies to us. Mark 13, starting verse 9, "But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you'll be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak it. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." Luke 12:11-12 takes a little further. It talks about being brought up in the synagogues and the magistrate. Don't worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Philip is an example of that. We see in Philip the ministry of an evangelist. Took him to people who did not know the Lord. It first starts in Acts 8 where he goes to a city where miracles brought joy and where the people believed his preaching and were baptized. The multitudes, one accord, heard the things spoken by Philip, bearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, both men and women were baptized. You see, this is what I've experienced, and I can only tell you what I know. Signs and wonders follow the word. And when the Holy Spirit is speaking the word through someone, things happen. People don't leave the way they came in. So he evangelized the good news. He spread the gospel. He cast out demons. And you know what? I don't believe that Philip or any of the people during that day went through any of the rituals or machinations that we tend to see in the church today. I believe they just said, "Come out of him in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach." And those demons ran because on the sound of their voice was the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way it should be. We should be able to just look at someone and say, "Be healed." We should be able to look at someone and say, "Anything that's in you that is not of God, anything of the kingdom of darkness must leave you right now in Jesus' name." And it would happen. Whether it's mass evangelism, personal evangelism, when the evangelist is empowered by the Holy Spirit, something happens. Acts 11:20, "But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, Adonai Yeshua." I like what Oswald Chambers says about this. God is not saving the world. It is done. Our business is to get men and women to realize it. Evangelism is the proclamation of the message of good news. Good news is God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay that way. You don't have to be this way. When people are sick and tired of being sick and tired and you offer them that way out, they'll take it. Evangelism is spirit-led. Communication, the gospel of the kingdom, it offers a valid opportunity right then and there for people to accept Yeshua, accept Jesus as their Messiah, as their Lord and Savior, and become a part of his body. It drives me crazy when I go to some place and I see that happen and the Spirit's moving. Okay, everybody get up now and go to that room in the back and follow these people out or make an appointment for next Tuesday at 11. No! Right here, right now. Get them saved. Flip the lid off of that bathtub. Let's dunk them. Folks, we're running out of time. The Lord is coming back. And we have opportunities to just share our testimony, to tell people about what the Lord did for us. And it's the Holy Spirit who will inspire you. He will empower you. He'll do it with you. See, the Lord gave the good news that the kingdom of God was upon them. He didn't only preach. He demonstrated his power. And he demonstrated his authority even over the forces of nature. He exorcised demons. He cast them out. He just, no ritual. Out, be gone. He healed that woman who had been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. You want to get inspired? Go read Luke chapter 8. He brought the word in both verbal and power. He did it in word and deed. He didn't just talk it. I'm sorry, these people that come out of seminary preach a dead word in a dead place. No one gets saved. They go out the same way they came in. No one gets healed. No one gets delivered. That's not the gospel of Messiah. That's religion. Paul says in Romans 15, starting verse 18, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Messiah has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Messiah." The other thing, we kind of talked about it with Jonah. Just like Yeshua, the evangelist comes not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." If you're looking to condemn people because of their sin, stay home. If you have no compassion in your heart for the broken and the bound and the wounded and the afflicted, stay home. Because you have a problem and you need the Lord and you need the Holy Spirit to fill you. You need him to break that cold stone heart and give you eyes to see them in their brokenness, see them in their pain, see them in their demonic bondage. It's all well and good to hate the demon, hate the sin, but you better love that sinner. And they better know that you love them and that you care about them. They better know that you know him because his love comes through you. Now here's a distinction between the evangelist and the prophet that for some reason goes untaught. The evangelist doesn't go to the churches. He doesn't preach to the choir. He goes to the world. He goes where the sinners are. Prophets go to the churches for correction, to stir them up, to cheer them on, to strengthen them. It's interesting how the church doesn't want the prophets to come in. Oh, don't you dare come in here and tell us what's going on behind the scenes in the offices or in the dark of the supply closet. Don't you dare point out the besetting sin of our youth pastor or choir leader. Bring us an evangelist that'll just stroke the people. We've got it so backward, and I won't tolerate it anymore, and I won't be silent about it. Because, folks, I haven't figured it out. I'm jacked up for 2019 to get proactive, to roll over the top of the enemy, to rescue the sheep that's been stolen by the lion, to whack some wolves upside the head. I saw a meme, and I'm going to convert it for our use for SRT. And in the meme, it was a sheepdog. I may have told you this already. I don't know. Bear with me if I have. And in it is a sheepdog, and next to him is a puppy sheepdog, smaller sheepdog. And the young sheepdog says to the older one, "Dad, why do the sheep hate us so much?" And you know what the father said? He said, "Son, it's because we remind them that there are wolves." Church doesn't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that Satan's not in hell, that he's out and about doing his thing. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that a little dab of oil or a little sprinkle of this water here. They don't want to hear that that's not going to make demons do anything more than laugh. Demons don't run from icons. They don't run from ritual. You know what they run from? They run from a man or a woman filled with the power of the throne room who know Jesus personally and have the authority of the use of his name on their lips and the love of God in their heart. That's what they run from. We need the church to get stirred up, revved up, riled up. We need people that are willing to tell the world, "Hey, we have the antidote for your fatal disease called sin." The other thing about evangelists is they're itinerant. They're on the move. Sometimes Paul stayed 2 years. Acts 19:10, it says he continued for 2 years that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Yeshua, both Jews and Greek. Acts 17 says he was there for a few days with Paul and Silas. They had been snuck out because the Jews in the synagogue wanted to kill them. So they went to Thessalonica, where the people received the word with all readiness. And so they stayed there, and they preached, and they taught. Paul was there for a few days, but he left Silas and Timothy behind. That's one of the things I talk about in the newsletter. I can't believe I'm pounding on this. I talk about the fact that one of the things that we're praying for, and we hope you help us do it, is a motorhome. I've mentioned it before, but folks, I'm researching motorhome. During a prayer session with the Lord the other day, Larry and I were telling him about all the things we were asking for, and the provisions and the blessings and all the other stuff, and the Lord started to get real specific. "Well, which one is it? Which one do you want? How much does it cost? Do you have any idea? Have you considered the cost?" I want numbers. The Lord basically said, "I want to know exactly what you want to the penny." And then he said something to me which resonated with me, because he said, "Where's my business plan?" And I'm pretty good at that. People used to use me to make business plans. I can tell you, I can break down a vision, tell you what it's going to cost. What he wants to know, what do you want to? "Oh, Lord, bless me." "No, Lord, I'm actually $365.72 short on my rent or my mortgage this month. That's what I'm asking you for." You need to get specific. You need to write it down. You need to make a plan. And you need to believe it. So if we're going to do the work of evangelists, if we're going to follow what I'm talking about here, and I hope that you're doing that, I really don't think you come here just to be entertained. At least I would hope you wouldn't. But we need to get serious and get ready. The other thing that the Bible, specifically Paul, talks about in regards to evangelism and evangelist is being careful about false ones. Galatians 1, starting in verse 8. "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be an anathema. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Messiah. Adam Clark's commentary says that your false teachers pretend, as many did in early times, that they received their accounts by the ministry of an angel. Boy, listen to me. Adam Clark wrote this long before than some of the nonsense going on in the church today. If they receive their accounts by the ministry of an angel, let them be accursed. Separate them from your company. Have no religious communion with them. Leave them to God, who will show his displeasure against all who corrupt, all who add to, all who take away from the word of revelation. And then Clark says something really profound, and it really struck me. As in the legal law today, the receiver of stolen goods is as bad as the thief. So the encouragers of such pretended revelations are as bad in the sight of God as the impostors themselves. And what does the word of God say to them? Let them be accursed. Let them be anathema. You want an example of that? The Apologetic Study Bible talks about Joseph Smith, the former of Mormonism, who claimed that he was visited by the angel Moroni. By the way, the word Moroni means light. So he was an angel of light. I think that was like Satan being funny. Hey, my name's Angel of Light. No, it's Moroni, who informed him that the true gospel had been corrupted after the apostolic age and had been absent from the earth for nearly 19 centuries. So Joseph Smith sincerely viewed his calling as the restoration of true Christianity to the world. And the Mormon gospel is based on self-effort, submission to baptism for regeneration, the acceptance of Joseph Smith as God's end-time prophet, who, by the way, was able to communicate with Moroni by putting a giant crystal in the hat and then burying his face in the hat. I'm telling you, folks, demons have some really strong senses of humor. Hey, let's see what we can make this guy do. Put that rock in your hat. He did it. Put the rock in the hat. Put your face in the hat. Wow. They do this stuff anyway. So there is another Bible. They have a different Bible. But they're not the only ones. Islam teaches that Muhammad got the Quran from the angel Gabriel. Pay attention to the source of the information that you are receiving. Distorting the gospel, the real gospel, with a false gospel is worthy of damnation. That's what anathema means. That's what accursed means. To suffer the destructive consequences of destroying people's lives. We can't tickle the ears. Paul says, I'm not going to preach a gospel to get you a favor. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm also not going to keep from telling you the truth to avoid suffering. So it comes down to this. Any gospel that is not the gospel of grace, which promises justification through faith, if it's through works, if it's through anything more than this substitutionary payment on the cross by Jesus of Nazareth, and you confessing and believing that he is the Son of God who paid for your sins, if it's through your actions, if it's through anything more than that, it is a false gospel. It is satanic in origin. There are denominations out there right now who call themselves Christians that I can get into a lot of trouble and probably get myself blocked from every social media platform if I say what I really want to say. And the time may come where I will just do it anyway. But the Lord hasn't released me to. But there are entire massive worldwide denominations that claim to be Christian that I personally believe were created by HaSatan, Satan himself, at the same time the Book of Acts church was preaching the true gospel. And I believe he created one particular, but many different denominations, to run parallel to the true church with a watered-down false gospel to steal people away and effectively bring them into the lake of fire with them. They did it to water down the power and the ability of the Book of Acts church, and when that didn't work, they just inspired leaders to rise up and give control of the church to Constantine. Proverbs 19:27's got a warning. It says, if you stop listening to instruction, my child, you will turn your back on knowledge. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2, 4-6, during this period of time, obviously they were having a problem with false teachers and false preachers. He says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know, and God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we've never sought it from you or anyone else. We are not called to please men, folks. We're not, and don't be disappointed if you don't. Don't be disappointed if you're persecuted. They persecuted the Lord. The disciple cannot be greater than the master. Someone who's telling the truth, telling the good news, telling the truth about Yeshua, should be alarmed and very concerned if the world flatters and caresses them. If sinners love you, that means they're not convicted by you, because you, instead of living a life of conviction, have led a life of convenience. Oh, we should want the world to hear what we have to say. We should want the world to see our sincerity and our commitment and admire it. But we should never, ever be so compromised that they don't see Jesus and want him. Running out of time here, I want to read this. It's a statement by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And it encapsulates the fire that I feel and what I think we need to do in 2019. If you do it right, it'll be tremendously successful, and the enemy will hate every minute of it, and they'll let you know that. There'll be adversities, there'll be challenges, there'll be attacks, but so what? The disciples dealt with it, the Lord dealt with it. This is William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. While some weep as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out and in and out as they do, I'll fight. While there's a drunkard left, while there's a poor lost girl on the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I will fight. I'll fight to the very end. We've been called to go, to tell them the good news and make disciples of everyone we can. We've been called to disrupt the powers of darkness. We've been called to set the captives free. You know, right now, all over the world, one of the biggest scourges that the media don't want to talk about, because some very powerful, famous people are involved, is child sexual exploitation, child trafficking, human trafficking. And it so appalls me of what HaSatan has done, Father, that right now I'm just going to come to you on behalf of your sons and your daughters. I'm going to come to you on behalf of those that are out there that are suffering. And if there's anyone nearby that knows you, let them intercede. Let them share your name. Let them preach the gospel. Let them shine the light. Let them drive the enemy off. If nothing else, Lord, just send us. SRT is ready to go. Just send us. We'll go. We'll go into the darkness. We'll go and go after the lion and the wolves, and will inspire others to do the same. Right now, Father, I'm asking for the fire of the Holy Spirit to touch each and every one of us right now so that we can go. We can tell them the good news, you died on the cross for their sin. They can be saved. They can be freed. They can be your sons and your daughters again, reconciled to you out of the darkness, eyes opened, bodies healed, spirits healed, minds healed. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you just resonate right now, that you just burn inside each and every one of the remnant, that they would rise up and that they would wake up and that they would hear this call. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.
Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter. Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.